This week, an analysis of consumer household debt by the Department of Business, Economic Development, and Tourism put Hawaii second in the nation. Per capita, Hawaii households carry a little over $67,000 in overall debt and about $46,000 in mortgage debt. Now, that might not make much sense to anyone with a mortgage in Hawaii unless the words per capita are highlighted. We called Hawaii real estate analyst Ricky Cassaday for a fuller explanation of how to read the report.
Yeah, when you look at, you compare the total overall credit versus the mortgage component of that credit, it screams at you that that Hawaiians are spending, are bearing one a greater burden off of the mortgage, much of which would be tied to price. And that's in relation to the rest of the United States whose home prices are a lot lower than ours. So, I mean, that kind of makes sense. If you have to dig underneath it, then you have to ask, you know, is that, do we have two income earners on the mortgage? And that makes sense to me because at the same time we have such a high component per capita, of debt per capita, we're also one of the lowest wages states in the country. So the juxtaposition between only earning a little and having to spend a lot is what is impressive to me or makes me think.
What's the average mortgage in Hawaii?
I don't know, but I did a blended average the other day of just the price of a house and calculated to see, you know, what it was a long time ago and where it is now. But I as far as the average mortgage, I'd have to dig into the report for a second and see if there's a number there. The number that I had, though, was, you know, 30 years ago, actually longer than that. Number I had was that in 1980, the blended average, the price index for houses in Hawaii was $135,000. And in 2016, the blended average is $746,000, and by blended, I mean single-family condos, new and resale homes, just all everything that was sold. So that's up 500%. The actual, and I'm just talking about figuring that you guys can cut into this and cut out of this. The mortgage that they're calling out here in terms of off the $67,000 average annual wage is $51,000. So they say 77% of our debt is consumed by a mortgage relative to 68% on the mainland.
And again, that's per capita. But when people look at some of these numbers and think, wait a second, I bought a house and it was $600,000. Maybe if that person put down $200,000, they're still carrying a $400,000 mortgage, and total debt encompasses your mortgage, too. So in some ways, is this report a little disingenuous for people to be able to look at and try to rate themselves?
Yeah, I'd be careful about rating yourself off of this. But on the other hand, I would lean forward and encourage everybody, instead of trying to see their own particular interest in something like this, I'd see the whole interest and see it because you're getting a pretty good vision of our entire community, from the rich to the poor, everybody in between. And then when you throw us up against the mainland, you really do see we are different. We are special, as my children will sometimes say to me. And that's the fact of Hawaii. That is, we are, everything we do is because we're special relative to client, aloha spirit, beauty, cost, and so on and so forth.
When people have mortgages, very often they are told by their financial advisors that it may be advantageous just to not pay off the mortgage, even if they can, because they can write off the mortgage interest from their taxes. Is that a strategy that you think holds a great deal of water, or is there a downside to that that you think we don't talk about enough when we talk about how much debt we carry?
Well, most people, when they look at average debt and averages this, averages that, they love to compare the average mortgage cost of ownership versus the cost of rentership and in a lot of cases, the mortgage deduction and some of the other things balance it out. So I've heard and I've read conflicting reports, no, in Hawaii you should do this, own, no, you should rent. And I've been reading rent more than own lately. But the component that is really interesting to me that makes Hawaii special is a couple things. One, the drive to own your home, starting from the leasehold system that was broke in the 60s when New Valley was first converted from fee simple from leasehold. That whole eras and generations of people wanting to own their land, and when they did it, they got a piece of the rock and rode the appreciation. You know, for instance, when Bishop Estate converted Hawaii Kai. So I bring this up because the other part of the report that dovetailed with this a little was the last page when they said, you know, our home equity component of debt was highest in the nation and highest by a lot. And what that brought to mind was the fact that we have a lot of people out here that use their homes as a bank. This is where they go to put their kids through school or meet extraordinary expenses. And when they do that, again, looking at the totality of our community, when they do that, they have to figure out ways to make more money. And if they're on a wage, then they're not really capable to increase their income. Just off of that, they might have to get into a business that has something else like tips. So gray market marijuana, all that stuff is also extra money that helps them feed the meter when they tacked on a mortgage or when they tacked on a home equity loan. And you can see other manifestations of this behavior when they rent their house out short term to VRBO or vacation rentals. That's extra money. It's sound money. It helps to subsidize and to support their life.
If they're using their homes as banks, though, long term, not necessarily for short term rentals, but just saying this is a good investment, it's probably the biggest investment that average people make is their home. But is there also something that you would caution them against in looking at the home as a bank for later on when perhaps they don't have the same level of income? And it might mean that, A, they're going to spend a lot more money to be able to pay off their house, or they're going to not be able to pay off their house at all.
The way I looked at it is two ways. One, if you're just in a normal age, let's say 20 to 55, you know, you're going to want to own a home, or put another way, if you're from 25 to 45, you're going to own a home because it gives you a lot of basic welfare. You know, the home ownership it has financial benefits, but also psychological benefits. You're not worried about landlord or whether you'll raise money, raise the rent, and you'll have to move, and that sort of thing. But in that 25 to 55, say, the price really doesn't matter because if you have to sell at one point and buy another, it's like being on a tide. All the boats go up and all the boats go down. So if you sell at the low tide and buy, you're buying at the low tide and vice versa. Now, when you decide to either give it to your kids or to sell and set up your retirement, that's when you're much more sensitive to where you are in the tide. You want to sell at the high tide.
And also where you are with debt in general. Ricky, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Beth.
Ricky Cassaday is a Hawaii real estate analyst and principal of Data at Work. We spoke about the analysis of consumer household debt by the Department of Business, Economic Development, and Tourism that placed Hawaii second in the nation.